guarantees to the government uniquely favorable pricing treatment, where at the outset of a GSA schedule contract, the government identifies one or more commercial customers to which the government will compare the contractor's pricing. And if the government starts not being treated as well as this group of commercial customers, then the government demands better pricing from that date going forward.
And so essentially, you have to, if you're not doing the lowest price, you can get in all sorts of trouble.
Well, you know, it's a lot of people think of it that way. It does not actually have to be the lowest price, and that's a very important point. The key is when you negotiate your contract, whatever ratio is established needs to be maintained.
Mm.
For some companies, it's the lowest price. For some companies, the government might get 5% worse than commercial customers.
Mm.
So it's not necessarily the lowest, but it is an established, negotiated relationship that has to be monitored and maintained.
And is that subject to negotiation?
It is subject to negotiation, and sadly, a lot of companies, mostly small companies, don't realize that, and they walk into the negotiation with the government and just kind of throw themselves on the table and take whatever the government gives them. The more savvy contractors walk in knowing that it's a negotiable term and properly negotiate, so it's a fair result for both parties.
And you said, I think some of the key words you said a little earlier were, you have to monitor this, and you have to be able to defend it if there are questions.
Yeah, there are a lot of exceptions to the price reductions clause. And not every discount to a commercial entity triggers the clause. But any GSA schedule contractor has to have a system to monitor compliance. It has to be able to look at its commercial customers that are within this, it's called the basis of award, within this tracking category, and you have to monitor those sales to know if the pricing is below what it should be. Then you look to see if an exception applies, and then you look to see if you have an obligation to reduce the government's price. It's a lengthy, burdensome process that all schedule contractors go through.
And for people who see the schedule as really the entree for many companies into the government market, this can really be something that most folks don't think about, don't fully understand.
Well, you are exactly right, and while I love GSA, frankly, as an organization, I really think they do a pretty good job. Previously, they've touted the GSA schedule as, you know, no different from a commercial contract, and that has had the unwitting effect of duping some companies into thinking that it doesn't have these unique obligations, whereas this is a unique obligation, and companies need to go in with their eyes open for things like this.
Hmm. And conventional wisdom says that this particularly is more onerous on small and medium-sized businesses, because a lot of the large guys, they have teams that can monitor this and keep track of all these kinds of records. Is that true or not necessarily?
No, I'd say not necessarily, Chris, because a small company might have less infrastructure, but they typically have fewer sales as well. A larger company might have more infrastructure, but, you know, millions of transactions might be running through the company. I think you've got to say it's a burden to big and small and mid-sized. It takes a lot of work. It requires attention. It costs money. At the end of the day, it increases the cost of all the products and services to the government, because somehow the cost of the program has to be, you know, it's got to go somewhere.
Right. This isn't just all this monitoring isn't being done for free.
Right.
Yeah.
Precisely.
You don't employ all those people and just say, oh, yeah, this is just the cost of doing business.
No. And, you know, that's interesting, because when companies sit down with GSA and they start talking about pricing and they explain to GSA that the cost of running a GSA schedule compliance program is high, and therefore the government shouldn't be entitled to their lowest prices. The response you often get from GSA is I don't believe it costs a lot of money to handle our program. Every contractor in the world, every industry person in the world knows that's not a correct statement. It
right.
is an expensive process, but GSA doesn't at least publicly buy off on that.
And the folks who really monitor this are the IGs, and they do this through, essentially, they can go back, up to 5 years, is it?
Oh, it's interesting. GSA has multiple monitoring points, really. One is their industrial operations analysts. They used to be called the IFF reviewers. But that's a contract function. They come around, and they look at price reductions clause. You're right, though. The primary enforcer is the Office of Inspector General. They can go back for the entire contract period, really. So it could be 5 years, and I think it might even be 3 years after final payment. So they could even go back longer than that in some cases. Mm. And then finally, Chris, don't forget that, sadly, this area is a big area for plaintiff's lawyers and whistleblowers. And in a sense, and the government would say this is a good thing, and industry would say this is a bad thing, but... Yeah. You know, whistleblowers and competitors are monitoring and blowing the whistle left and right on these things.
And part of the debate around this is that sort of age-old debate. Hold on, what gives the government the best value? Is it through broad competition, having more people in the market that are then competing for prices, and that's how you get better value? Or is it through the auditing and going back and checking and all those kinds of my term, almost micromanagement process, and those two different sides, really very different viewpoints on how you run the government business.
Yeah, it is interesting because in a GSA schedule world, which is about as close, it's certainly not commercial, but it's as close as the government gets, and there's huge competition. Well, one would think that the competition solves the pricing problem. I mean, if a government customer wants to buy widget X, it goes online to GSA's website. It sees 100 companies offering widget X. It picks the lowest one. How can you say that's not fair and reasonable? But nonetheless, the Office of Inspector General is very firm and vocal on the position that without audits and pre-award and post-award audits, then companies are defrauding the government left and right. I'm paraphrasing, but that's close.
Right. So we mentioned post-award audits. What's a pre-award audit?
Back maybe 5 or 10 years ago, the government said that contracting officers should be taking advantage of the Office of Inspector General to help them negotiate better contracts. And the way contracting officers are supposed to do that is to have the GSA Office of Inspector General conduct what they call pre-award audits, where the IG looks at a company's submission and looks at the accuracy of the submission, and then issues a report to the contracting officer to help her negotiate better pricing. Now, interestingly, a couple of years ago, the IG's office reviewed contracting officers and determined that they were not doing a good job on negotiating good pricing.
Yeah.
So I suspect we're going to be seeing more pre-award audits as time marches forward.
And as we mentioned, this is a very controversial provision of the schedule contracts. And in fact, the SARA panel a couple years ago said, let's stop this process. This isn't the best way to do business.
Yeah, the panel did have some strong things to say about getting rid of the price reduction clause, especially in the world of services.
Because this is where a lot of changes, I mean, GSA schedule contracts originally designed for products, not for services. They've been moving it more into services, but it's not really what they were designed for.
Yeah, so services have overtaken products.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. It was initially, you know, to buy a lot of paperclips, recurring needs of a commodity product. Over time, services have overtaken products. The rules have not quite kept up with services taking over, but the panel realized that the price reductions clause probably was not necessary or appropriate in certain circumstances. Nonetheless, the Office of Inspector General had a very strong reaction, negative reaction to that recommendation, and at one point, I believe, even said that it would pull its support for the other recommendations if the price reduction clause elimination went through.
Mm.
But at this point in time, we still live in the price reduction clause world, and companies, every GSA schedule contractor needs to take it seriously.
And doesn't appear to be going away anytime soon.
No, I in fact, the IG issued a report not long ago where they recommended increased use of audits, more personnel, and don't forget this, that, I mean, every time you turn around, sadly, it seems that a GSA schedule contractor is in the newspaper for settling a False Claims Act case involving the price reductions clause.
Yeah.
Even though those cases are far and away the exception as opposed to the rule, it fuels the IG and DOJ's position that it's necessary. And it makes it very difficult for contractors to argue against it.
So when a client comes in and says, okay, how do I deal with this? How can I don't want to end up on the front page, well, on the front page of the paper or on Federal News Radio. what's your one thing that you say to them?
Well, I guess I say more than one thing.
Yeah.
The short version.
We still want them to come in and talk to you. So we're not going to give away everything.
Of
but
course, of course. No, they have to. They
have a good lawyer. That's step number one.
No, I don't say that. No. If they're calling me, they already have one, right?
Right.
I'd say that they have to take it seriously. They can't think that they're below the radar screen, and they can't think that, oh, this is so complicated. GSA can't mean what the words say. The truth is that the GSA does mean what the words say. It is complicated. It is burdensome. And if you're going to play in the federal sandbox, then you have to play by the federal rules. But the flip side of that I have to add is, you can't be so afraid by it that you stop running a viable commercial enterprise.
Right.
You know, there's a balance, and the companies that do well on the GSA schedule are companies that find a way to comply and to maximize their commercial flexibility, and those are the companies that get it.
Jonathan Arney, he is the he actually wrote the book on the GSA schedule contracts. That was a couple years ago. The book getting an update sometime soon?
Well, as a matter of fact, we're in the West Publishing took it over. We're in the fourth edition, and the fifth edition comes out in a couple months.
There you go.
It's called the GSA Schedule Handbook.